Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So this week's message is entitled, Filled with the Spirit. If you remember last week, we talked about how the presence of God is something that we are meant to carry. If we look back at the Garden of Eden, we're supposed to carry, remember I had the water illustration, presence of God, and sin causes that presence to leak out over time, but Jesus comes and he's a covering, a sovereign covering that helps us to sustain holding the presence of God on the inside, right? It's called justification. We've been studying it for a few months, okay? Because once we understand what our place is, we don't live defeated lives anymore. We live way above the fray. It doesn't matter if you have a bad day. It doesn't matter if you drop your guitar during worship. It doesn't matter if you can't figure it out. You know what matters is that Jesus be high and lifted up, right? And that the train of his robe fills the temple and that we might be able to see it. That's too good. The good news is that we have Jesus as an advocate and a sustainer for all things that have to do with the kingdom of God in heaven. And so then I left you in Galatians where it was talking about how when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't gratify lust of the flesh. There's a war that goes on inside of us constantly. It's our flesh and our spirit. Our spirit wants to do good, and our flesh wants to be lazy, gluttonous, lustful, prideful, you know, all those things. And a lot of times the flesh seems like it's leading. The Bible tells us to crucify the flesh, to murder it, to crush it with pegs until it bleeds to death. And then if you're filled with the Spirit, then you receive a power that allows you to crucify the flesh. This is going to be good. I can feel the Holy Spirit already. See, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, remember I invited you on a journey. You want to lean in and hear this. We forbid any distraction in Jesus' name. Moving forward, just eyes on me, right here. What's God going to do? Right? Your life changes when you have the Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of you. You're different. You're not the same as you were before. It's still you. You don't get a lobotomy. You still remember, but you're redeemed. So everything that happened to me before, like I could stand here and tell you the whole list of my life and the contents of horrible things that I've been part of and that I've done. And it wouldn't even matter because I can't stay perpetually in that place. I have to come back to God and overcome by the Spirit of God, by the blood of Jesus, by crucifying the flesh. And it's a long, hard walk from this life to that one. And it's all the time. So when the Holy Spirit comes, you get a power that comes on the inside of you, a power to witness, a power so that you can witness who he is and what he's done and how he's moved about in your life. All right, now I'm gonna kind of preach out of the dictionary a little bit today, just so we understand what words mean. But before that, let me preach out of the Bible. Lord, help this word be like a razor that cuts away things we don't need. And let it be like a healing balm that fixes up everything we do need, God, that we move forward in kingdom authority. In Acts 1, 7 through 8, Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times, you know, they're talking about, when are you coming back, Jesus? It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but I'll tell you what, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And after he said this, in an epic move, he's taken up before their very eyes, and then a cloud hid them from their sight. Bye, Jesus. Wow, to have seen that. You would be ruined forever to believe anything else because you saw it with your own eyes. As a matter of fact, that's why you would be compelled to give your own life to say that you saw it, and you would never recant, right? Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen that and still follow. And you know who that is? That's us. We're a blessed people because we dare to believe that he is who he says he is and that he ascended. It's pretty good. You'll receive power from the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with power. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I went through a revival movement and I remember it was just like, there was like holy laughter. If you've been around long enough, you remember. And when our kids would hide under the pews, nobody knew what was going on. It was so wild. And there'd be a time people would just be falling over in their seats. And I've seen that in the flesh, and I've seen it real. I've seen it both. And I've learned how to discern the difference most of the time. But on the other hand, I try not to touch what people's intentions are, because I don't know. But the minister would come by and he'd just go, filled, filled. He could even do it from here. Filled, 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 filled. And people would start to be filled in their seat. They feel like they were drunk. They feel like they were passing out. They would have some kind of encounter with God that their lives were forever changed afterward. I had a couple of those. And I was skeptical in the beginning. And so did you. Skeptical in the beginning. God knows how to show off. He knows how to show you his glory. But he's the kind of God that he's like, you want a sign? Okay, go read Jonah. To some. But to some, he'll show you. Yeah. He'll show you something, a vision or some kind of word will come into your mind and life, and you act on it and you follow it. And he heals you from it. And so I want you to understand the definition of the word fill. Have you ever been hungry? Yeah. You probably get hungry about halfway through my preaching and think, man, how long is she going to talk? It's a little bit longer. You'll be really good and hungry because then you'll go and eat something. And it's like, you know, one of our places we like to go is called Stacked. It's a burger. It's like yay big. Well, mine is because I eat bread. It's about this big. And you just put it in your mouth and like all the grease from that burger just like runs in your, oh my God. And that cheese is like drips around your teeth. And you bite through those onions and pickles and tomatoes. It's just like, oh my God, it's so good. And they have sweet potato fries. And then after you eat it, you're like, oh, I can't eat anything. Can't eat another bite. Not even a thin mint. I can't. I just can't. There's nothing else that I can have. And so I'm full after that. But I'll be hungry again in this body. And I'll have to feed it again. It astounds me how many times I have to feed this thing. Why in the world would I not feed my spirit as many times as I feed this body of death? I'm not taking this with me. It's not coming. Gorgeous as it is, not coming. It's going to die. It's going to go in the ground or up in smoke and be worn around everyone's neck. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. But here's the thing. When you're full, you're full. And when you eat a burger like I just talked about, you get stuffed. You ever describe it? I'm stuffed. I'm so full. It's cram packed. These are the synonyms for fill from the dictionary. Fill, it means to fill the capacity, to cram it in, to overflowing. You jam it in. Something that was empty is now full. And it's so full, nothing else can fit into it anymore, right? And there's two baptisms in the Bible. One is, you know, the one where you dunk for the remission of sin. I go in dirty on my own accord, and I die to my flesh, crucify it. And then I rise out of that, all my sin left in the water, and I rise with Jesus. I'm following him now, and I make a declaration. Okay? If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that. Second one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is described and labeled that by John the Baptist. He's kind of a key player, if you ever read the Bible. He says, I baptize you with water so your sin can be forgiven. But there's someone coming, and he's holy, and he's going to baptize you with fire. He describes it like a baptism. Why? Because you're immersed. You're full. You're totally full to the brim. You're jam-packed. And nothing else can fit in there anymore. And you're jam-packed with power. Not so you can be powerful. Nobody cares about that. Your power is to be a witness. Listen to the definition of power. So we become filled to the brim, to overflowing. We're loaded up. We're crowded in there with power, with an ability to act or produce an effect. You have the ability and the power to change your life. You have an ability of power that seems superhuman, extraordinary. You have a capacity to be acted upon or to undergo an effect. You can cause change by your presence walking into a room because you've not come in empty. You've come in filled with the Holy Spirit and fire and power. Yeah. The room changes and it's legal. You have a legal, official authority to move in that capacity of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit to overflowing. Sometimes there's physical might that goes along with this. I've heard stories of women who have lifted cars off of children. Yeah. It is not possible. But it happened. Physical might comes along when it's needed. Mental or moral efficacy, an ability to observe and assess a situation and command it. Because you're full of power and authority and influence by the Holy Spirit overflowing on the inside of you. In Matthew chapter 3, John Baptist, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And last week, I invited us to go on a little journey. I'm not going to lay hot hands on you and watch you speak in tongues and fall down and all that. I've already done that. And I've seen people who lived that very life that I just described get divorced, broken family, walk away from their faith, become a stripper again, you know. And I mean, I've even dabbled on the edge of falling away from my own faith in my lifetime, knowing God. What? Yeah, the enemy's strong. No one is special. It's the coming back to the filling of the Holy Spirit that keeps you intact, that sustains you. So there's a time where something happens in you that's powerful. So if you remember the guys, all the guys, the disciples hanging out with Jesus, after Jesus died, he told them to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. And they go, and they're in this room, the door's closed and all these things. And something so profound happens to them on this day where the Holy Spirit is poured out that they are not afraid and hiding anymore, because that's what they're doing. They're hiding. Your leader got murdered in front of you, and now you're afraid they're going to murder you, so you go and hide, and you get in hiding. You ever had that much fear on your life that you were paralyzed, you couldn't even move? Yeah. Don't lie. Everybody's been afraid. Everybody's had paralyzing fear at one point or another. Something. Everybody's afraid of something different, but fear is a liar, even if it is a paralyzer. So these guys are hiding out, but when the Holy Spirit comes, this rushing mighty wind comes, and they all are endowed with the spirit of power, filled up with the spirit of power, and now they're standing out in the street preaching and prophesying. See, something happened to them where they were not much afraid anymore, but now they're empowered. They're filled with this power and authority. And Peter is telling this sermon. It's incredible. It's in the book of Acts chapter 2. It's near the last part. But here he's laying the whole thing out of what you just did to Jesus Christ and crucified him. And it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Who's it for then? Let's make it real personal. That's mine. That is mine, and I want it. Acts 2 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing, violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire separate and come to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That's amazing. I don't think you have to be speaking in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I know you don't, because I've seen people prophesy and many other things that didn't speak in tongues. But I'll tell you what, I speak in tongues and I like it. And I'm going to tell you what happened during this time when my mom has passed and my heart was just so heavy. I just feel sick. I still do sometimes. That grief is a bad friend. Shows up whenever it feels like it and tells you whatever it wants, makes you cry. Doesn't care if you're in front of people talking. Doesn't care where you are. It will just come. Sometimes grief is a really good friend, and it reminds you of the goodness of all the things that you had to walk with and all the things that you can remember forever. It's powerful. You know. But during that time, I started praying in tongues again, because we don't do that a lot in public here, and I'm not saying you have to. If you think it's weird, it's not. It's holy. And so when you pray in tongues, something happens to you. Your cells rejuvenate. You know, I have a friend who, her husband had a massive stroke. And he was laying in the hospital bed and unresponsive for 3 days. And on the fourth day, they say, if we get to the fourth day and your person hasn't do not resuscitate, which this person did, we usually pull the plug that day. And so my friend, Debbie Masters, laid on the bed next to him and prayed in the spirit. And when she did, it sounded like this. Like that. She's praying over him. She comes up out of your spirit. Doctor comes in. He goes, oh. He goes, excuse me. Are you praying that heavenly language? Doctor, I've heard of this. I've wanted to witness this. I haven't seen it yet. What's your strategy? She goes, oh, I don't know. It's all I know. I don't have any words. It's my husband. I love him. I don't know what to do. And Mike in the bed opens his eyes and starts to speak in tongues. Mike is about 90% back. He can walk, talk. He has his clarity of mind. He's a little slow to get the words out. This is a father in the faith. The doctor said, I think what you did there, because we've done studies, that when you're praying like that over someone, their brain makes new cells. Their brain rejuvenates. This is in medical books, guys. Doctors are in awe and wonder. They don't have it. They have medicine, which I believe God gives us doctors for medicine, 100%. All I'm saying is, that's her story. And I asked her if I could tell it, and I've told her that I've told it many times. Something has happened to me with my mom and healing, where grief is beginning to lift. And it's just time. It's 4 weeks. It's not very long. It's a big person to lose. But the speaking in tongues is bringing me back to ground, back to myself, back to. Okay. So look at this. Here's a vessel of water, right? It's a little vessel of water, and I'm going to pour some of this good oil in it. Not too much, babe, don't worry. It's just the avocado one. It's not your good olive oil. But look at that. Now look, no matter how hard I try, that oil, a little bit more for good measure, that oil is not going to mix with that water. It doesn't matter how I will it to do it, and I want it to do that. I want it to mix, but it won't. And I'm going to explain something to you, why you're different. Because you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have oil. Oil is slippery, and it always rises to the top. And you're different now, and you will forever be different. You will be marked by this oil for all of your days. Why do people talk about me? Because your oil is offensive to people that don't have it. Why don't I get the promotion? Because it's intimidating. There's so many reasons. Why can't I enjoy those things I used to enjoy? You got oil now, and you're full of it. It's so full, there's no room for those other things to come and live on the inside of you anymore. And when they try to, it almost makes you feel sick. It's like on Thanksgiving when you stuff in that second piece of pie and you didn't have room. There's no room for anything like that anymore because you're filled with the Spirit of God now. And your oil is defining your life. And you can't walk away from the oil because I'll tell you what, once you get that on you, it's real hard to get off. And you know what else? Some people try to live in the middle and keep stirring it up and make it both. Why can't I just be a little bit of everything? And when you do that, man, it really defames the name of Jesus. It really is a bad witness, you know? Do you have to be perfect? No. Am I perfect? Far from it. I've got my own stuff that's none of your business that I got to walk through all the time. And you've got your stuff. But what happens is this oil that lands on the top, man, it gives you the power to overcome and to, as a matter of fact, kill your sin. And this is where I left you last week, on Galatians. Galatians is an incredible book. It starts out at the beginning and it just says, hey, you know, who bewitched you? Why aren't you living in that faith that you were once living in? What happened to you? It was for freedom. Christ set you free, right? So in Galatians, in about chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, the entire law, everything about God's order of things, that whole Bible, is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We could all go home on that. If you bite and devour each other, watch out. You'll be destroyed by each other if you do that. That's why we're really, you know, I would rather be this tight-knit group that I can trust you than have a bunch of brood of vipers around me, backstabbing and talking bad. We don't allow that. You know, we don't have it. We won't have it. So I say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. It talks about what the flesh is. Flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. They have conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want, but you are led by the Spirit, and you're not under the law. Filled, overflowing to the brim, crammed in there with power to be a witness. to testify before him. You're different. And just like this water and this oil right here, you know, this oil, man, it's not meant to mix in things that are not for you. And so this oil, it'll do things. It'll protect you when it needs to protect you. It'll guide you when it needs to guide you. It'll say, get out of here. This is not where you need to be. Not now. It happens to you when you're out and about and you're in a place that you don't need to be. Even if something might befall you that would be dangerous or hard, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and say, go that way. Go that way. Have you ever looked at a car and slammed on your brakes before you ever looked up? Yeah, you have, because the Holy Spirit is living in you and telling you, go this way, go that way, and saving you in spite of yourself. All the time. He does it all the time. There was a story where a person driving their car right around Lindbergh. I mean, this is Pastor Rick Shelton a long time ago told this story. It's so good. And they go around the corner at Lee May Ferry onto Lindbergh, go around the curve. It's kind of wide. It's in South County. The door flies open. His kid falls out. Doesn't have any time to do anything. He's in the middle of the intersection, and all he has time to do is go, Jesus! Okay? Whenever the cars are all stopped, everybody stopped, everything's fine, car behind him stopped, kid's safe, and the guy in the car behind him is sitting there like this, and he's kind of like paralyzed and shaking, and he sits in the car. He doesn't even get out. Kid's fine. They're like, he's fine. Well, he's okay. And the guy says, you don't get it, though. I never touched the brake. You know, this is stuff you don't hear on the news, people. But you know what? The Holy Spirit moves like this all the time. There's so many things that happen that you can't explain. And I don't believe in coincidence. I believe he's on our case. I believe he's looking for us. I believe he's like a bloodhound searching out, you know, where is faith and where can I act and where can I move? And he does it like this all the time. He'll protect you when he needs to. He'll guide you through some hard things, bring you through your messes. You know, how many of you have ever gotten yourself in a mess? Because I certainly have, man. Look at me. I talk all the time. You know how many stupid, wrong things come out? I have to be sorry for my words, sorry for my attitude, sorry for my opinion. Man, I've lived years in repentance. There'd be seasons of it. And it's like, will you ever get it? You know? No, because there's a conflict in here constantly. The flesh, the spirit, the flesh, the spirit. I'll be going to the Lord. I'll be like, Lord, you better help that person. Or don't. If you don't, I'm ready. You know, I'll be doing it. And the Lord will be like, calm down. Calm down. I got this. People say, what happened to you? What happened to you? You don't cuss anymore. I notice you don't cuss anymore. You know? Do I cuss occasionally? It's been a minute, but I do. And usually for humor. And then I feel bad. You know? It's not for me. My husband will tell me, that's not for you, pretty girl. It's not for you. And it's like, but here, look, that's about vulnerable. I can just be honest because I know that you all do it too. Even if you act like you don't, you at least think it. So, and if you don't, then you're judging me right now, so you can deal with that one. But here's the point. You know, people, I don't do it in front of people, you know, that I don't know 100% love me. I don't. And so they'll say, well, what happened to you? You know, what happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to me. I got filled. I'm full. I don't have room for that anymore. You know, hey, why don't you go out with us anymore? Why don't you do what you used to do with us anymore? I got filled. I don't have any room for that anymore. I'm filled with power. I noticed you think you're too good to talk about so-and-so with us anymore. I'm just full. It doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing. I'm just full. I'm full of the presence and power of God. That won't fit. That can't fit with me anymore. And when I notice that I have a propensity toward those things, then I better go back and renew my mind again. Because I'm probably not full and I got a little leaky. There's a evidence in people who carry this oil. There's evidence all over. And the big one that you can see is a lot of grace. They have a lot of grace. Not condemning, you know. If Jesus doesn't condemn us, who would a person be to condemn us? And who cares if they do? Somebody be free. Back to Galatians. You know, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, then in verse 17 or 18, 19, he lists all the lust of the flesh, fornication, uncleanness, all these things. And how he says people that do these things, who practice these things, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I've had people come to me and say, man, I do this. What am I going to do? Look, I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit and tell you what to do and what not to do, but it says if you practice it, if you intentionally continue to practice something in your heart, that's not the same as having a season and then having a breakthrough. Those are different things. Your intention is everything God cares about. How it is, not how it looks. God can see right past the pain and right past the struggle to your heart that wants him. And that's what does it for him. That's the switch that gets flipped for him. But here's the things you can see on those who carry the soil. They have the fruit of the Spirit. They have the evidence that the Holy Spirit has been moving around inside of there, and that there has been a crucifying of the flesh going on. And they don't say everything they want to say. And God will put people in your life that make you learn these things. And you'll be praying, God, get this person away from me. And God has put them there intentionally that you might figure out where your oil is, that you might figure out the presence of God that you're carrying everywhere that you go. Man, God gave me a brother. Sometimes he watches us too, but that's okay, I'm not scared of him. Well, a little bit, but not really. But here's the thing. He can draw me in to conversations that can be full of sarcasm and kind of rough. And the Lord will be like, "Not, that's not for you." And so I have 10 things backed up in here, Lord, that I want to say with my quick wit. But the Holy Spirit will be like, "That's not for you." And I hold it, you know, I hold it. And he'll teach me to where I don't even have where I want to say it anymore. It's enough for me to know that I could have, right? Does this make sense? Yeah. Are you getting this? Because you know why I'm telling you this about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you're the ones. You're it. You live here. You live among the people here that are outside of this wall that doesn't know what we're talking about in here. You are the vessel of oil, of honor, salt, and light that goes out of here today. That you're going to see people this week that I'm not going to see. And maybe you bring that person with you next week. Wouldn't that be great? If every one of you brought one person, there would be no empty seat. It would be full. We would have to get out more chairs and come up closer. How about that? You'd be in the spit zone if you come up here. Listen, I'm not saying it so the room can be filled. That's awesome. The room full is more exciting than the room half full. But the room half full, I can feel the energy in here today. I feel the Spirit moving. But the room gets full and then heaven gets full, right? If this room starts to get full and we preach like this and we teach like this and we give opportunity for someone to know the goodness of God and salvation and then baptism and then foundation class and then the next steps and we start to make disciples, then we're right smack in the middle of God's plan, of the commission, the Great Commission. You can stand up. I'm going to read to you the fruit of the Spirit when you stand up. And I'm going to let you get out of here and go get one of those cheeseburgers. One thing about the Holy Spirit coming and filling you, Jess just sent a song over to us this week, and it has a line in it that, "I'm coming in empty so you can fill me." Some of us have to empty ourselves of things that are in the way of the filling, okay? Something that likes to hang on and hold on and hold you back from what God would have for you. So in the name of Jesus, if you would like to become empty, that the Lord might fill you, be emptied right now in the name of Jesus. You have permission. It's your spiritual leader giving you permission to get empty of all that junk. Get full of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with power to be his witness on this earth. Be filled with power to make an influence on another person's life and even on your own. You have the power to change your own life. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. We like to say, tell your face that you're saved. Love and joy, they look good. They're appealing. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Jesus said, when he went on that cross, he did that with intention, that you might walk in love and joy and peace. If you're walking around murmuring, complaining, and flustered, and wringing your hands and all the time, no one wants that Jesus. That's not the right Jesus. The right Jesus brings love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Teach you when to speak, teach you when to keep your mouth shut. Kindness, it's free. Kindness is free. What if kindness was the evidence of the Holy Spirit on the inside and we walked in it? Whew, see a need, meet a need. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying one another. Oh. Father, pour your Spirit out. We invite you. Fill us to the top, to overflow, so there won't be room for any other bad thing, God. Set your Spirit on us like fire, like oil, like water. Father, let us be the witnesses that make your name famous, that people want to know you, that they can't help but want to be in your presence. And Father, help us not to freak out about speaking in tongues, nor think we're better than anybody if we do it. Father, let your words be our words. Heavenly language, English, whatever it is, Father, we ask you to seal our words, seal our tongues, seal our hearts, and fill us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.